You want to go ahead and kick it off, Randy?
Yep, okay. I just started the recording. So, good morning, everybody. I'm Randy Burton. I'm your regional director for the North Carolina Odyssey of the Mind Eastern Region. And we'll do a couple more of these maybe through the year as we progress toward the tournament dates and then towards the state tournament and on to world finals. And this is really meant for to be your session, not ours, right? It's to help you with any issues that you're having. We'll go through some things like the registration process for the tournament, and you know, just some other things that we feel like is useful information for you as coaches and coordinators for your schools and your teams. But as we go along, if you have some comments and would like you know, join the conversation, please feel free to unmute yourself and speak up. You can also put in the chat. I'll be monitoring that this morning, and we'll make sure that we get all of those answered. And then I know several of you are from schools that have multiple teams, and if some of your coaches are not able to attend this morning, that's fine. Again, we will have the recording of this, along with the slide deck and everything, up on the Eastern Region website later this weekend, probably certainly by end of day tomorrow. So it'll be there for the other coaches who weren't able to attend live this morning. So with me here is Tom Bojanski. Tom and I are both former coaches, and have you know, our kids and our families have participated in Odyssey for quite some time. In addition to being your regional director, I'm also your problem one problem captain, and Tom is your problem five problem captain for our Eastern region. So I'm going to let Tom get this started. He's got some slides we're going to go through, and again, please feel free to ask questions or jump in and comment as we go through this. And so thanks for joining us, and Tom, let's go.
All right. Thanks, Randy. Randy kind of understated his role. He's got multiple roles at both the region, state, and really international level. So Randy's a good, a great resource to have for questions. So again, don't be shy with questions, you know, either during the presentation or, you know, when we actually open it up for Q&A. The one thing that we're not going to do today is answer problem specific questions. That's handled through the clarification process, which I hope most of you are, or all of you are aware of. And you know, we'll go over some information on that process a little bit later on. So with that, just a couple, Randy and I have been doing this for, gosh, 7, 8 years, maybe, Randy, I don't know. Seems to be a good time in December to kind of step back for us as region administrators to do a check-in, allow the coaches to check in and see how they're doing. And you know, we'll go over some information here about some things that, you know, your team should be working on at this point in time. You know, the holidays are right upon us, and then in January when you come back, things start happening fast from an Odyssey perspective. So this is a good time for us to do a check-in. I always try to just remind coaches at this point that, you know, the goals of Odyssey of the Mind. You might think that you're only doing like prep for the region tournament right at this point, and props, skit, backdrop songs, whatever, if you're having that as part of your skit. And that is truly important because we are going to have a tournament on March 1st to give you a chance to show your stuff to everyone. But just don't forget the magic in this process of Odyssey of the Mind. And that is, you know, we're teaching our students problem solving, creativity, persistence, teamwork, individual responsibility, all those skills that you know, we hope that they're developing along the way as they practice their spontaneous and do their work on their solutions. That's truly, as I look back, and Randy could probably say the same, is it's watching these kids learn all those things in the midst, in the context of Odyssey of the Mind. That's a fun thing. So just every opportunity you have as a coach when you're working on things, just don't forget these. There could be other ones too that we could add in here, but we're teaching our students how to be problem solvers, and it's in a fun environment. So next is just some key dates. We've had coaches training that was in the middle of October. We had the skills fair last week. We had a lot of students come out and participate in that skills fair. And so next up, these are just some dates to keep in mind. All this stuff is going to be on the website on ncome.org. And this next point about the Eastern Region Tournament registration, that the deadline is January 5th for the early bird fee. We're gonna talk a lot more about this. Randy's actually going to go over this slide in detail. But just know that January 5th is the early bird discount. We're a little late in getting the registration this year because Odyssey of the Mind headquarters is transitioning to a new system, and so getting the headquarters synced up with regions is taking a little bit longer. But we're gonna open up registration, this week, this coming week. And again, Randy's gonna go over those details in a little bit. The spontaneous fair is on January 25th. It's gonna be at the Franciscan School in Raleigh, North Raleigh. And you're going to have some information on ncome.org next week. I'm coordinating that event, and Franciscan School has been kind enough to allow us to use their facility. And so that's an annual process. Encourage you to sign up quickly because we have a limited number of spots. There's going to be another coaches webinar on February 8th, very identical to this, different content. As we get closer to tournament time, we've kind of focus on the tournament prep and going over that information. So mark that on your calendars. Judges training will be February 15th, and all of you will be involved indirectly in that because you're going to be providing a judge for us. Each team has to provide a judge. We'll go over that in a little bit more detail on the next couple of slides. Eastern Region Tournament, March 1st at Wakefield High School, the same spot we've had it for the last several years. So that you should already be aware of that one. The state tournament is in Jacksonville, North Carolina, 3 weeks after our region tournament on March 22nd. And that's going to be, there's a complex. There's a Northside High School, Jacksonville Commons Middle School, and Jacksonville Commons Elementary School. It's like a complex. They're walking distance from each of those schools. So that will be in our coastal region on March 22nd. And then for those teams that qualify and are able to go to World Finals, that's May 21st through the 24th at Michigan State University. It's a little bit closer than Iowa State. Many more of you will be maybe driving rather than flying, but that's May 21st through 24th.
Tom, there's a question in the chat about fees for the spontaneous fair.
$50 a team. And that includes, I mean, that's, you can bring parents, coaches, and however many students you can rustle up on the 20. On January 25th. So $50 a team. Resources. We encourage you to utilize resources that we have. I mean, this is a resource for you. Odyssey is not an easy thing. It takes some commitment and time at a minimum. But there's lots of resources out there for you coaches, especially new ones. The program guide is always something that you, as a coach, you should have already read that. But you can also refer to it. There's lots of good. You can't compete really. You can't compete successfully or adequately without reading the program guide. So if you go to odysseyofthemind.com and then go to the Teams tab that's at the top of the page, you'll see that that's referenced in all of these resources. So odysseyofthemind.com and then click on Teams, you're going to get access to all these resources. The program guide, the second one is Odyssey Academy. I just want to take a quick break. If raise your hand in the reactions tab if you have it on the, how many people have looked at Odyssey Academy, have gone online and seen, looked at these videos? Anybody? Or put your thumbs up or raise your hand or, okay, we got a couple. If you haven't looked at this and you're a new coach, it's been, but it's good for all coaches. Jim Moray, who's been around Odyssey forever, and he's the Problem Three announcer, if you've ever been at Problem Three, he does a great job. There are 15 videos. They're generally 20 to 22 minutes long each. Great, great resource. It's almost like a coach's training, and but they're in short snippets. Again, the lesson two is 15 minutes long, and lesson 13 is 29. So within a half an hour, you can get some really, really good information, and Jim does a great job. So if you haven't checked those out, and you've got questions on style, for example, or how to do spontaneous, there's a session, and it's good for coaches. There's another thing called the Help Center, which is new this year. And again, odysseyofthemind.com, go to Teams, and then there's a Help Center. And there are articles in there about different aspects of Odyssey of the Mind. It's kind of, similar to the Odyssey Academy. But there's some good information there. There's a passport, a coaching guide. That was new. Was it last year, Randy? Was that the first year? Is this year number three?
Yeah.
I can't remember. It's kind of like a lesson plan if you're a teacher. They're like lesson plans. And so that's a good thing to refer to, especially this time of year as you're trying to figure out, hey, am I doing everything? And then new this year, the reason I've got the red arrow is new this year are things called Omer Talks. And how many, again, raise your hand, just do a thumbs up if you've been to any of the Omer Talks. Okay, I see Jessica. Anybody else? These are, Elizabeth has been to one. Okay, great. So Omer Talks, again, it's like lather, rinse, repeat, right? It's the same stuff that's involved in Odyssey Academy with the Help Center. But these are sessions, webinars. Usually they've been in the evening, say like 8 o'clock Eastern time to 9 o'clock on different topics. This coming Wednesday, the 7th, 17th? No, the 18th. It's either the 17th or the 18th. I don't know. Go out there and check. There's a session on style. So people are just gonna, but there's some Odyssey at the national level. There are some people that are gonna be, they go over different topics. And so I'd encourage you if you have some time and you want to find out about style specifically next week is that session. So that's again odysseyofthemind.com/teams. You gotta be a member. You have to have purchased a membership to get access to that. But you go to the member area requires login. You log in, and then right in the middle of the screen, it's Omer Talks. And you have to register for these things. So if you want to go, if style sounds like something you want to hear more about, that's kind of a mystery item. Sometimes we get a lot of questions on what does style mean? Well, here's an opportunity to find out more about style. And then I think there are some sessions in January and February. Usually they're in the middle of the month. So utilize those resources if you've got questions as a coach or a coordinator. Some more items to focus on. I'm going to try to get through these fast because I think you probably know a lot about this information. So your long term, you should be working on your long term problem solution. 200 points. Hopefully you all know what problem you're doing. All right. If you don't, and your team is still struggling and arguing and pulling each other's hair out during your sessions, well, you need as a coach to say, okay, folks, let's make a decision. Because as I mentioned in January, after the holidays, January is going to happen fast, and then all of a sudden you're going to be the night before the region tournament, and you're going to be frantic. So choose your problem. And once you've chosen it as a coach and as teams, read that problem often and then reread it and then reread it. I had a situation one year, many years ago, our team had been competing for several years, and at World Finals, we were able to go to World Finals, and we got dinged for an item that, we had done the solution two other times, and like we missed it, and they didn't give us points. And I looked at the problem and I thought, yep, they're exactly right. I can't tell you how many times I read that problem and our team read it. So you can always read it, and be reading it often. Read it backwards. So you don't get used to, so you kind of look at it in a different light, and just make sure that you're understanding what you're aiming for. You should have determined the theme or your plot for your presentation, whether it's problem one and you're doing the amazing race. Kind of what are you doing? What's your race look like? If you're problem five and it's the astronomical theme. It's like, how are we presenting it? What's our civilization looking like? You should be making some progress there. Understand your scoring. Section D in every problem is scoring. Know what you're aiming for. Know where you're going to get the most points. Every problem has both subjective scoring and objective. It's either you do it or you don't. Those objective scores, 0 or 5. You should hit every one of those at a minimum. But work with your team on that and ask them the questions. Hey, have we how where does where is this happening where we're going to get points for this objective scoring? Know that all every problem, you have a maximum of 8 minutes to present your solution. Okay. Problem three and problem five allow an extra minute, but there's a penalty. Again, personal story. One year was actually the last year we competed. So the team should have known better, and myself included, but we did. We always used to do problem one and two, but for some reason they decided as seniors in high school they wanted to do problem three. Well, I had forgotten about the problem, the timing, and we got penalized at the region tournament because we went over the 8 minutes. The judges don't stop in problems three and five. The judges don't stop you at 8 minutes. They'll let you go. They'll stop you at nine, kind of late by then. If you go all the way to 9 minutes, that's it's a 30-point problem or a 30-point penalty. But just know that you're aiming for 8 minutes, and so just make sure your team is figuring out how they're going to be aware of where they are in the presentation. Watches help. Delegate tasks to individuals or small groups. Okay, you're at the time of the year where, it's kind of hard. Well, I got to be careful here. Just utilize individuals and small groups to work on tasks. That's part of the beauty. And maybe one person or two people are working on the skit rather than all seven people. Think about in the work situation, when you have a committee to write a document, it doesn't go as well as if, hey, let us present, a couple people present the skit, and then you can make it and you can make changes. So anyway, you just utilize, don't feel that you have to do everything in a group. And start delegating tasks if you can. It's easier to do that with middle school and high school teams, and easier than if it's a Division I. But you'd be surprised at what some of our third and fourth graders can do alone. The clarification process. If you know how to get to the clarification process, or you've used it, I want you to raise your hand if you know how to do that, if you know what clarifications are. All right, this is a test. All right, Elizabeth, Jessica, a lot of folks I can't see, so they can't. All right. Well, if you don't know what the clarification process is or what clarifications are, email Randy or me, or we'll point you in the right direction. But you go to odysseyofthemind.com Teams. Again, notice the pattern here. Go to clarifications, and you can click on that, and there's a clarification guide. The process is a little different. It was a lot different this year, but you can, for those who don't know and haven't raised their hand, if you have a question on your there are two types of clarifications. There are general clarifications that they're public and everybody knows them. They take the problem, and enough questions have come in about a process or an aspect of the problem that the Odyssey headquarters decides, hey, we need to clear this up in the problem. And so they'll put out some information. I think every problem has at least one clarification so far. Problem four might not. I haven't seen. Maybe four is the exception to that. So they'll and the clarifications link there that I list is you'll see access to the different problems and what general clarifications are. But you can also send in your own problem, your own team clarification, and you'll get an answer within several days. It might be, I'm concerned about the vehicle size. Can you tell me if X, blah, blah, blah? And you'll get a question, you'll get an answer back, but that's not something that they'll make a public clarification or a general clarification. They'll respond, the headquarters folks will respond directly back to you as a coach with the answer to your question. Oftentimes it'll be very brief. Most of the time you can find out about it through the program guide or actually in the problem. But just know that there's a way that you can find out and get answers to questions that you have. When you go to that clarification site, over there on the right-hand side in that red box, there's a clarification guide. It gives you examples or gives you information on how to submit a team clarification. So just be aware of that process. If you don't struggle with trying to figure it out, especially if your team is struggling, get them involved in writing the question. You can send them in as coaches, but especially middle high school teams, Division two and three, get your team members to write those clarifications. It's a good learning experience. One other thing that we would mention is, about outside assistance. Outside assistance is bad. This is about the teams, about the students. You can ask good questions. You can ask, what do you think are options here, and get the team to work on it. But you can't tell them specifically how to solve the problem. I think everybody knows about that. Start thinking about your style items. Again, we've talked about this a lot in the coaches training, but style is 50 points. It's part of the long-term solution, but it's a separate 50 points. Section F gives you information on what those style items are. And again, this next week, the OMER talks are talking specific, that session specifically on style. Spontaneous is the other 100 points. You should be practicing spontaneous every week if you can, at least one. The more practice, the better on those. You have three different types of problems: hands-on, verbal, and then the combination, which is again a combination of both manipulating items and giving verbal responses. Teach skills within the process of the spontaneous that help that actually help you do spontaneous problems better. Listening skills, analyzing quickly, collaboration. You can focus on those kinds of skills when you're practicing spontaneous, or even else, could may not be an actual spontaneous problem, but maybe you found something that, helps teams to listen or to read, read adequately, and then be able to analyze and find out where, where you're going to get the most points. Use team members to give feedback at the end when you do a spontaneous problem. Always ask, hey, what did we do well? What would we do differently or better? And get the kids involved in giving that feedback. Sometimes if you use your team members to actually score the spontaneous problems, that's a good way to get them to listen and figure out what works best and what maybe doesn't work so well. There's no outside assistance with spontaneous, so you can give a lot of feedback on that process when they go through a problem, when you debrief or talk about how they did. So don't be shy with providing advice. Randy, looks does Natalie Natalie seems like I have she's raised her hand. Do you have a question, Natalie?
Yeah. For spontaneous, would you suggest that maybe by the time February comes around, we have a designated team spontaneous leader? We have different roles, like we have a materials person, a timekeeper, like we have that. And the question has come up of whether we should designate one person or if we should just keep it rotating all the time. I feel one way, so I just want to get your input.
Yeah. Randy, I'm gonna, I've got feedback, but Randy, what do you think, Randy?
I honestly think it depends on the team. If you have somebody on the team that is already sort of the team leader and the other team members are kind of looking to that person for guidance and kind of following their lead, I think it's fine to have them as sort of your spontaneous leader as well. I think that so in general, I would say, yeah, I think it's probably a good idea to have a spontaneous leader. But I think you also have to kind of factor in the team dynamics of your individual team and how your team is working together and if that would really work for your, 5 or 6 or 7 kids. But in most cases, I would think it would probably be a good idea.
Okay.
And I would agree. When I was coaching, we it was a little bit harder, but we had a quote unquote captain, and but back then, if you could only have maximum of 5 team members participate, and you didn't know what the problem was, so we kind of had a team captain for each type of problem. Now with everybody being able to participate, then you can't, it's easier to assign one person. And it worked for us. I mean, it worked to have a captain. Sometimes that captain made bad decisions during the problem. And I can say that because it generally was, I coached my son's team, and there were times when he was kicking himself all the next week because he didn't do very well. But that's part of the learning process is, they've got to, the team members have to trust whoever you put in charge, and the person's got to be a, a quick thinker, but it certainly is an option. It certainly,
Okay.
yeah.
The dynamic we have is we have someone who is sort of naturally coming into the leader position. However, that person isn't, we have someone else on the team who has really innovative, quick thinking ideas, but they're just quieter. And we have, our team, we have like the wide age gap. So I just want to make sure I want to do right by the team. My instinct is to sort of tell that person who might be a little bit quieter, but who has those fast ideas to let that person give much more of a shot at this role. And not that the other person who's naturally doing it, like they could kind of, I would love to see them work together. But it, so I just, I was curious about, I had another question too about outside assistance, and I'll word it since I have my team member, I'll word it in a way that doesn't hurt. Are we allowed to suggest a certain material for prototyping, or is that a little too much?
That's too much.
Okay.
Randy, again, what would you think?
Yeah, I would stay away from that. I think it's fine to help them understand properties of materials, right? So you can kind of help them to make that decision themselves. So, okay. So you can sort of talk about this is how this works, and this is how you would, you know, cut this or whatever, because it's different whether it's wood or it's fabric or it's plastic or a milk carton or cardboard or whatever. But I think, you know, I would prefer to see you kind of give them some choices and help them understand a little bit about what those different choices are, and then let them decide of those choices which ones they want to use.
Yeah, you get a whiteboard out or something, or a flip chart or whatever, and say, okay, what could we make this from? And then they'll say wood or plastic or PVC, and it's like, okay, well, what are the pluses and minuses of each of these? You know, get them there, but to let them come up with the ideas.
Yeah, they decided themselves what material they want the final product to be made with. And we had talked before earlier in the season to prototype, like go through this process. This was sort of before they were solving the problem. And so now that they're about to start using the actual material, I was like, maybe we should, but yeah. You know, I'll have them brainstorm. I'll have them come up with sort of what they think would be good.
Thank you.
And then I think it's also fine to have them do a little bit of trial with that, right? So if they're trying to decide between, you know, a couple of different materials, have them work with both of them a little bit so that they can kind of understand, you know, what would work better for their particular, you know, use, right?
Yeah. Again, that's part of the magic. I mean, I know I keep saying it's easy for me to say it. I don't have to live it now, but you know, seeing them puzzle through that is just so much fun. And I think most of you understand that. But it's like, yep, they'll finally get there. And but even the process of them puzzling through it is fun to watch, and it's part of the learning experience. So, all right, Randy, I'm going to turn it over to you because. This next slide is talking about the registration process, and I will for the tournament. And I will preface this by saying the other day, you all should have received an email. It came out on, I think it was yesterday morning, with some information from our NCOME communications team that said, hey, here's how you start registering for the tournament. And it's different this year because of the system changes at the national level. So Randy, I'll turn this one over to you.
Yeah, so the registration process for everybody, all of you and all of us, is radically new this year. It is a new online system that headquarters is using. And so it's going to be really important to kind of follow the process. So I downloaded this morning the latest export of everything from the headquarters system, and I'll kind of go through that with you. But step one is registering a coach as a human into the system here. So we have a tab, and I'm actually gonna, Tom, I'm gonna share my screen now.
Okay.
Place current share and screen two and share. And this spreadsheet, it may be a little bit difficult for you guys to see, so I'm going to zoom in on it a little bit here. But here's what this is telling me, right? So I know that, for example, there's an Apex Friendship High School membership that's in our region. I know who the coach is and so forth. And I know they have not registered a team yet. Okay. So I also know that Natalie's on top of things and has registered her team. And Natalie, I also know, because you and I talk a lot, that you only have one team. So I know you're good. But if you see all these NAs over here, these are all What I believe are teams that are going to be competing in our tournament that have not yet registered their team. So the first thing you do is you got to register as a coach. Then you have to set up your team, and you're going to do that on the Odyssey of the Mind website. And I'll give that a second. If you're seeing my screen, I've gone just to odysseyofthemind.com and I've signed in. And then if I go to Teams and to the Help Center, this is where I want you to go. And there's two articles here that you need to follow step by step, this letter for letter. Add a coach to your membership. That's what we're talking about right now. And so if you click on that document, it's a step-by-step guide of exactly what you have to do to set up your coach. You have to do that first. That is the first step. You can't set up your team until you've set up the coach. Once you have set up the coach is going to have a login. So they're going to go to odysseyofthemind.com that they would log in up here. You can see where it says my name and log out. That's because I'm already logged in, but that's where they would go. And then you go right back to the same place, to Team Help Center. From Teams Help Center, how to create your team by problem and division. So again, if you've not already done so, and I know a bunch of you have not, if you read the email that came out from us just a couple of days ago, I said that we had, I think, five teams at that point registered. We now have quite a few more. So it looks like several of you took heed of that email and have started to set up your teams. But I would tell you, we only have about a third of our teams of what I'm expecting to see from our region. Only about a third of them are set up. So you can't go past to actually registering for the tournament until you've set up the team. So you're going to go here, you go to this document and just follow it step by step to create your team. Once you have done that, then when I pull my spreadsheet back up and you know, refresh it from the corporate website, I'm going to start to see a lot of these NAs go away and start having numbers in there that tell me, you know, what the teams are. I can blow this up a little bit. This right now is the list of Eastern Region teams that have actually followed this process. They've set up their coach and they've set up their team. So here's why this is really, really important. First of all, you know that we've got a deadline now of January 5th for you to get the registration fee into us at that discounted early bird rate. But let me be honest with you. I don't want any of you to have to pay me $175. I'm perfectly happy, and the region would be perfectly happy taking $125 for the fee and not the $175. What I need is I need to know very soon how many teams I'm going to have in each problem in every division. You know, kind of if you look at it from our side, when we have the tournament on tournament day at Wakefield High School, that just the fees we pay Wake County Schools for the use of the school for that day is typically between $6,000 and $7,000 for us. That's our biggest expense of the year, and we pay for each individual room, and we pay by the hour. So if we have a room for 8 hours or 4 hours, it can literally be twice as expensive for us to have it for longer. So what we have to do is we have to take that and say, okay, I know how many problem one, problem two, problem three, problem four, whatever teams I'm going to have. That gets us to the point where we can finalize that contract with the school and get all of the facilities that we need. So I'm expecting somewhere around 75 teams from our region, and I have 24 right now. And I can tell you right now, I think there is at least, you know, if I look at these two rows right here, I think Shelley registered her team three times because it's the same coach ID number, and the same problem in the same division. So we've got a little bit of cleanup to do. So honestly, I don't have 24 teams yet. I think I actually have 22. So once you do that and you get your team set up, you got your coach set up first, then you got your team set up, we will open the actual registration for the tournament this week, this coming week, between now and probably, you know, end of day Wednesday, I'll have that open up. Once you have your team defined to the CCI website, so you'd be on my spreadsheet there as a team, basically all you're going to do is sort of attach your team to the tournament. So you're going to see our NCOME Eastern Region Tournament for North Carolina. You say, my team's going to go compete in that tournament. The advantage of the way the new system is going to work for you is if you then get advanced to the state tournament, you simply attach your same team to the state tournament. And if you get advanced to World Finals, you attach the same team to World Finals. What will happen, though, is that you're going to get taken to a web page. I see, Lynn, you have your hand raised. So do you have a question?
Yeah, because I'm the municipal animal school coordinator. I helped them to like register the team like from last month. So it seems like in your list, I didn't see our municipal teams. So I don't know. It's like we need each coach to do that, or is I can do it?
So the each coach has to do that. I have had some schools who have wanted the coordinator to do that, and they've basically collected from their coaches the user ID and password, signed in as the coach, and the coordinator did the registration for them. So I do see lots of coaches from Mills Park Elementary School. Okay.
I also create a team, use my name to create all the eight teams there. So I screenshot to use in under my coordinate account, but I don't know. It's like probably it's like I need their.
Yeah, so you can't create a team under your name. You have to create it under the coach's name.
Okay, I got it. So I can contact them to ask them to get it. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, the reason you see you here is I think you have two memberships, right? Like an A and a B or whatever. Mm-hmm. But in any case, I do see lots of coaches from Mills Park Elementary, but when mm-hmm. I go to teams, I don't see any teams from them yet.
Yes.
So I need your help in getting that set up, because this next part of attach the team to the tournament won't work if the team hasn't been set up yet.
Okay, I see. They have their own coach IDs, like it's different. Okay.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Okay.
So again, you know, the thing to do is to follow this. It says if you are not the head coach, do not register or create a team, right?
Okay.
Only head coaches can register or create the teams.
Yeah.
So you need to have them follow this just letter for letter for how to create your team by problem and division. Okay. So do that. And then once you get that done, then we can move on to the registration step. And Ashley, Ruth, I see you have your hand raised as well.
Okay.
And you, Ashley, you are on mute. I can unmute you. Actually, I can ask you to unmute. Can you unmute yourself there?
I see her mouth moving, and it doesn't show that she's muted, but I can't hear you, Ashley, Ruth.
Yeah, we're not getting audio from you. Let me pull the chat over here. Okay, you're not sure why you can't unmute.
Brandy, could she type the question in the chat. Yeah.
Okay, so she says she's going to keep trying and try again later. Once you sort of attach your team to the Eastern Region Tournament by going here to the Help Center and following that Create Your Time by Problem and Division, you're going to enter some information there on the CCI website, and then you will be taken to that will direct you to our regional site that I've created for our tournament. Okay. And then this is live and ready to go. So as soon as CCI gets theirs working, you'll be taken to this. And you're going to give us some real basic information: your school name, your long-term problem, your division, your name of your coach, cell phone number, email address, and so forth. And then I would strongly recommend that you use this option down here that says, "Send me a copy of my responses via email." That's an option with SurveyMonkey, and they require you to sort of opt in on that. So I can't force it to send that to you, but you can opt in and say, "Send me a copy of the registration responses." Once you complete this and you select done, you're going to be taken to a screen with a link to actually pay us the registration fee online. So we use a service called Zephy. If you registered for the Skills Fair or for the spontaneous tournament that we had this fall, you've already used that, and you can pay that online. I know some schools have to pay us via a check, and that's fine. Just don't use the payment link and email us, either email me or email Lexi Groner, who's our tournament director, and say, "Hey, we need an invoice and we will mail you a check." That's fine. But one way or the other, we need to get those registration fees in, and we need to start getting our teams set up for the tournament. So the SurveyMonkey site's pretty easy to follow. But the one thing that it is going to force you to do is to give us the name and email address of the person who's going to be the volunteer for your team at the tournament. So on Saturday, March 1st, we ask every team, not primary teams. Primary teams are exempt, but every team, we want one volunteer that volunteers to work a two-hour shift on tournament day doing something, helping us run the tournament. Okay? We will schedule that volunteer's hours so that they do not conflict with your team's competition time. So if that's a parent or a grandparent, perhaps, who wants to watch their child compete, they absolutely can volunteer. We're asking for 2 hours of their time to help us run the tournament, and we will schedule that so that they can absolutely watch the team compete. And then we also ask for the name and email address of a judge who is willing to volunteer to be a judge at the tournament. That is a little different than a volunteer. The judges have to attend a judge's training session in February. It's via Zoom, so they don't have to go anywhere. So it's all online, but we'll spend the better part of a day, probably from like 8 a.m. to 1 or 2 p.m., going through some really, really good detailed training. And then they're going to serve as a judge on tournament day. And as a judge, it is an all-day commitment on Saturday, March 1st, and they will not be able to watch your team compete. We can't have a judge from your school judging your team because we don't want to even allow the possible perception of some bias in judging. So we will have them judge a different problem, a different division than your team. And that is an all-day commitment judging, so they cannot watch your team perform. We that's an absolute necessary step, and you can't click done here until you've given us the name of an email address of your judge and volunteer. So even though registration is not open yet, you should already be talking to your parents, teachers from your school, grandparents, whatever, about that somebody needing to serve as a judge and somebody needing to serve as a volunteer at the tournament. Critically important for you to provide that to us. If you are stuck and just are not getting anyone to volunteer or anyone to agree to serve as a judge, please contact us. We will work with you on that, and what will help you. We'll do everything we can to try to assist you with that. But at the end of the day, our tournament is a pretty good sized tournament. We're going to have, I think, somewhere around 75 teams, and so that's a lot of judges that we need for both spontaneous and the long term problems and primary to be able to fairly and accurately judge and score your teams in the competition. So, really important that you do that. And again, if you have trouble, right up here on the SurveyMonkey site is Lexi Groner's email address, NCOMETD, as in tournament director, at gmail.com. Email Lexi. She will absolutely work with you and help you with that. But you can't get finished with this registration until you have that information. So, any
Randy,
questions about that?
Lynn has her hand up, so
Hi, Lynn.
yeah, sorry. Still the same question. This registration, only the coach can do it, or the coordinator also can do it? Because it seems like it's individual teams, though. So I cannot
Yeah,
do
so you will be taken to this page from the CCI registration process.
Also,
And
I
remember, only the coach can do that. So if you as a coordinator want to do that on behalf of your coaches, you would need to collect their user IDs and passwords and sign in as them into the CCI system on odysseyofthemind.com. And then once you do that, there's going to be a new article here on this help center about how to register your team for the tournament. And you would need to follow that, but use the coach's name and email address and sign in and so forth. Honestly, I think it's probably going to be easier to have your coaches do that. But I do understand there's some coordinators that I've already been in contact with a couple of them that want to do that themselves. That the only way that will actually work, again, is for you to sign in as them and use their contact information and so forth to sign in, follow that process and so forth. So if CCI's system, that's the CCI being kind of the parent company, the corporate headquarters, if it takes them much longer to get their system up and running, I'm going to go ahead and send the SurveyMonkey site out directly to you and have you start using it. And we behind the scenes will sort of blend those systems together. But at least that way we'll be able to get the first of all, the judge and the volunteer and the coach's name and all of that data that we need. You'll be able to pay the registration fee. And we will start then knowing how many problem and or how many teams we have in each problem in each division.
But
So Natalie asked the question here, what time would the judge and volunteer typically have to report to the site? The judges will likely have to be at the site probably around 7:30 a.m. But that's going to depend on what problem and division they're judging And it'd be up to the individual problem captain because, again, when we know how many teams, we're going to know how long the competition day is going to be for that problem and division, right? So our first, typically on a typical regional competition day, our teams start, first teams start to actually compete and present their long-term solution somewhere between 8 and 8:30 a.m. And we like the judges to be there an hour ahead of that. So that's why I say, probably in that 7 to 7:30 a.m. time frame, something like that. If your judges have some time constraints, you have somebody who's willing to judge, but they got some time constraints, again, contact Lexi and tell her she may be able to assign them to a problem and division that might meet their schedule a little bit better. But we won't know to do that unless you contact us. So, Lynn, did that answer all of your questions?
And Randy, regarding and Natalie's question on like a volunteer, the kinds of things that volunteers do would be like a door checker. If you've been to a tournament before, it's like when we say team begin, before that happens, we'll have somebody at the door to make sure that nobody comes in and distracts. So, that's a doorkeeper or somebody helping with parking or maybe selling. At our sales area, so they may have to be there. You'll have a schedule 1 to 3, 10 to noon, and I think Lexi handles that as a volunteer coordinator, and she gets,
She does.
yeah, she'll they'll they those are throughout the day, that you don't have to be there at 7:30 or 8 o'clock. You may only have to be there from 1 to 3, or maybe you're helping with the tournament, the awards ceremony. So you might not have to be there until close to 3 o'clock. So that varies, but they'll be told that. And again, you can a volunteer can indicate in the process, hey, I can only serve between these hours and these certain hours, and we'll work to grant that request. No training
We're
for the
helping
volunteer.
have drama llamas. Silly Snicker Sisters.
Very sleepy.
Sassy girls.
Raksha.
What did you search up? And your team.
Hold on, guys.
Yeah, Raksha, you might want
I'm sorry. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, sorry. And parenting never stops, does it?
Oh, no, we are with the team doing coaching as well for Odyssey of Mind. I'm sorry, I did on mute.
That's all right. That's all right.
No problem. Okay, so any questions about the registration process? Okay, so look for an email from me coming out this week when we have the tournament registration open. But again, the prerequisite is you have to follow those two processes on the Odyssey of the Mind site for adding a coach for the team and then creating the team by problem and division. You got to do those first. So get those done. And then once you get those done, then you'll be able to hopefully easily follow the team registration process. So I'm stopping my share, and Tom, you can go back to your slide deck there.
Okay. I have to reshare, don't I? All
You do.
right, let's do
Because I took away your sharing.
that. Yeah,
I had one quick
but
question. Sorry to interrupt. I had one quick question. So for our team, one of the kids left, but we are registering with 5 kids. Can we add one more kid later without registering? Is that a possibility?
Randy, you want to take that?
Yeah, so the limitation is the way I think of it is you can only have 7 brains that ever worked on this problem, even if it was only for 5 minutes. So if you started a team at the beginning of the year with 7 kids and you had one team member that moved out of town and is no longer on the team, you cannot replace them because you already had seven brains working on the solution. If you started the year with less than seven, all the way up to the day of the tournament, you can add additional team members to the team. So until you get to seven brains that worked on that solution. Okay? So it depends. If you have five or six team members now and you want to add a sixth or a seventh team member, totally fine. Not a problem. If you have seven members and one dropped out, you cannot replace them.
Got it. Thank you. Yep.
And that rule applies all the way up. I mean, if you have five people at the region tournament and then say you advance to the state, and now you've got somebody that one can participate or what you think would be nice to add, you can do it. You can do it at any time during the competition year, up to and including world finals if you go that far. But yeah.
Okay, so but that's fine, that
Yeah.
because we are registering now that we do not know that the extra kid will be participating. That's fine to just add it without registering the kid, right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
so you can register the team with the number of team members you have now and add an additional team member later, as long as you're, not exceeding the seven brain limit
Okay, got it. Okay, got it. Thank you.
All right. Randy, thank
So
you.
one more quick thing on judges. I do get this question a lot, and the question is, could a youth serve as a judge? The only restriction for judges is they have to be 18 years old. But if you have a team member that perhaps has an older sibling that is 18 or older and wants to serve as a judge, they absolutely can do that. And if you have perhaps an older sibling for one of your team members who is not yet 18, but is a very responsible, like high school student, work with Lexi. We may be able to utilize them as your volunteer for your team, even though they're not 18. But I would want Lexi to work with you directly on that and understand, a little bit more of the dynamics of that specific situation. But I do get that question a lot.
All right. And I will also add, Randy is, I mean, he's like the guru on this registration process, but this is new this year for all of us, including, Randy and me and Lexi, the way we're doing this because of the transition to this new system at the national level. So, we'll get there. And but I just reiterate these steps, and you'll have this presentation. It'll be out on NCOME.org, to refer back to. But yeah, follow the steps. And if you have questions, you can contact Lexi or Randy. So Randy, thank you for going through all this detail. It's, like I said, it's a learning experience for all of us. So we've been asking questions, which is great throughout, but that's all the material that we have. And we have 11:08, so scheduled till 11:30. But other questions related to what we covered or anything else, as long as they're not problem specific questions. Again, I'll point you back to the clarification process for that. Don't be shy.
So I had one more quick question. So while registering for my team, there are two coaches, one me and one another parent. So we have only one coach. Can we add one more as a coach, or is that fine? Does it matter? There are two coaches for our team.
Randy, I'll let you handle that one.
So within the headquarters system, they only allow one coach. Okay.
Okay.
at our tournament, both in the region and the state, we will allow you to have multiple coaches. So if you need to talk to the head judge or whatever, and you want to do that, that's fine. But the CCI system will only allow you to have one head coach per team.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And Vandana, I see you have your hand raised.
Yeah, so I had a question. This is my first time doing Odyssey of the Mind, so I'm kind of feeling like a, you know, fish out of water. We talked a little bit about designating roles. I just wanted to understand a little bit about what kinds of roles that might be.
Roles within the
within the team.
I'm not sure I follow exactly what you're asking. I know in the chat there was, you know, do you want to have a role might be like the team captain? I mean, that's, or are you talking about that, or are you talking about like roles within the skit or your presentation?
Just roles getting up to the skit, right? So things like somebody mentioned a materials person, a spontaneous leader, timekeeper. Are there any other roles that I should be thinking about as I go through this?
Well, I would offer probably the most important, you know, is as you develop your skit, you know, who gets to play I mean, I'm just making this up, the court jester versus the person who is, you know, the cactus, plays a cactus. You know, I'm making these up. That's for the team to decide, you know, with the skit kinds of things. And again, that's part of the beauty of the process, kind of where the magic happens, how they determine as a team, you know, who gets to play what role. So in all that stuff, I mean, there's really no assigned things other than what's in the problem that define, you know, you have an astronomer. I'm going to pick on problem five because that's one I'm most familiar with. You know, there's got to be someone, it's got to be the astronomer character. For Randy in problem one, you have, this is a ride-on problem this year, right, Randy? So you've got to decide who's going to drive the vehicle or...
Yeah.
You know, that's for the team. You, as a coach, you can't determine that.
Mm-hmm.
You can talk about it and say, okay, today we're going to determine who we need to start moving toward, who's going to be the astronomer character, problem five, or who's going to ride the vehicle, problem one. Those are things that the team gets to decide. You know, it's up to you if you want to decide kind of the broader perspective of, hey, who gets to be the team captain? You know, at tournament time, we haven't gotten to this, but, you know, there's going to be a time when before they present their problem, we like to work with a team member on their forms. Again, forms is a part of the process. We'll handle that whole thing in the next webinar, but, you know, who's going to present the forms to the staging judge? You know, you can decide that as a team. And, you know, some people are better; they're better at it than others. But that's up for you, as a team, and then as a coach to lead the process. As a coach, you can't make the decision, but you can certainly help with that
okay.
discussion.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Others. Other questions? That's a good question. And again, the webinar that we have in, what did we say, February 8th, Randy? Next coaches webinar? I can't remember.
I'm checking. I think that's right.
Coaches webinar, February 8th. That's like 4 weeks before the tournament. We go through forms and some other things that you're going to be need to be aware of. We have, yeah. So we don't try to, can be a little overwhelming some of this stuff, but we try to gauge it throughout the year so that you're focusing on the things that you need to be focused on. But you know, tournament prep is coming. Well, I'm not going to labor it here, and you know, there's still some time. Final reminders: read the problem often. You're going to be annoyed by the many times we say that, but believe me, just keep reading it, keep reading it, keep reading it. Review the public clarification and submit team clarifications if you have it. If as a coach you're in a session and you spend more than 5 minutes on what's an astronomical character, what does that mean, and you can't quite figure it out, you've read the problem, you've read the program guide, send a clarification in, and move on. So don't be shy in using that. You don't get penalized for sending clarifications in. Keep practicing the various types of spontaneous problems. The closer you get to the tournament, the more likely you're going to forget, or you're just not going to have time to do spontaneous. So you got to push, you got to push that, because, at tournament day, you're going to be solving two problems. You're going to be presenting your long-term, and you're going to be doing your spontaneous problem. So just take some time to work on that. Register soon. Randy covered that. We want to see all those NAs in that worksheet filled up quickly. Right, Randy? And again,
exactly.
Look for emails from Randy. He's the region director in PC1, and it's NCOMEPC1@gmail.com. Lexi Groner is a tournament director, NCOMETD for tournament director, and then the individual problem captains. And I say, it's NCOME, you notice the pattern here. And then I have X underlined because, like for me, if you have questions specific about problem five, it's NCOMEPC5. And then PC2@gmail.com, all the way up. PC6 is the primary problem. So if you're a primary coach and you have a problem about, or have a question about the primary problem, just send it to PC6. All those problem captains, if you have something specific, a question about kind of the logistics of that problem at the region tournament, send it to the specific problem captain. Enjoy the holidays. So that's all I have. Randy, do you have anything?
I do not.
So
that we haven't already covered. So
I'm going to
really
stick around.
Everybody joining and just wishing everybody a really, really wonderful, happy, and safe holidays.
Yeah, I'm going to be around for a while. Randy will maybe be here, but if you're free to go and roam the country. We look forward to seeing you on March 1st. We're going to see you a couple times before via webinars and so forth. But hey, keep working on the problems. I love this stuff. I love tournament day. It's a fun to see your teams and what they've done. So enjoy the rest of your day. Yeah. And I'll be around. We won't stop.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I have one question, Tom. We are registering the team. We have one step where it needs a school organization confirmation code. We don't know what's that. School district code.
Tell me exactly what it is that you don't have that you need.
1 minute. While you register, there will be a... when we click on teams, under that, when we go into the member registration, the second step, school organization confirmation.
So it's asking for school district code. Where do we
school
get
district.
That?
School
district.
All other field got populated and it's showing green, but the last
school district,
do we have to put in anything or do we just submit
so-
it?
Yeah, so let's back up a second. Are you trying to register a coach or are you trying to register a team?
Team.
Okay, so what I'm going to do, Tom, I'm going to steal the share again.
Right.
Okay, so I have the document about how to create your team by problem and division up here. And what are you saying that it's asking you to enter? So I'm not sure I'm following you. What is it that it...
The
Say again?
Green, do you see the green screen? So when we click on next, after this one, when we click on next, it's asking for school organization name, association registration, school county, and school district. That's the page that we get when we click on next.
Would that be like Wake or Durham or Orange?
Yeah. Everything else got populated except for school district.
The yeah. thing which you were telling, school county is Wake. Right after that, the next field is school district.
Okay. Are you part of Wake County Public Schools?
Yes.
It should populate automatically, right? So are we allowed to type in Mills Park Middle School?
You can try that. And if you still have trouble, reach out to me directly. And what I want to do is, you know, see if we could get on a Zoom and so I could see exactly what you're seeing. And I may have to, you know, contact somebody from headquarters for help with that, but I want to see exactly what you're saying. So what you're saying is when you pull this screen up, that the school district isn't pre-populated. Is that right?
Let me actually.
Even I have the same issue.
Okay.
Randy, could you give her share privileges or not?
I gave everybody share privileges.
Oh,
yeah,
so join from the computer last
because we're down to three folks. Like everybody's interested here. And
oh wait,
yeah,
sorry. Oh no, here.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe I can share like this.
Mm-hmm.
The school district doesn't pop.
Okay, and let me pull up my spreadsheet for a second so I can kind of look at this. So which school are you with?
Mills Park Middle School.
Okay, so let me go look at Mills Park Middle School and this is
it looks like the county and the district would be the same in this case.
Yeah, hang on one second. I want to look at their actual registration record here and see if I can see what's going on. So, Roshka, is it under your name or is it under one of the other coaches?
It's Jisha.
Jisha, okay. So, I'm looking at his record here. Okay. So the school district is blank in his coach registration record, which is why it's not pre-populating. But just see if it'll allow you to put in there Wake County Public Schools.
Okay. Wake County Public School. Yeah, that should be okay.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, it went to the next page. Thank you.
So here we can. All right. Yeah. I think thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you.
Did that take care of it for you?
Yes.
No, see, I told you he was the guru. He's like the man behind the curtain. the wizard of OM.
All right. So Tom, I'm going to go ahead and stop the recording now.